Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
And so with that, please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. We praise you. We exalt you. We magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Let's go to the screen here. If you have your cell phones, put them in the off or silent position. I've entitled this morning's message, A Child is Born. A child is born. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah 9. And we're going to read together verses 6 and 7. And I have it right here on the screen for you. And it reads, For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will what?
Accomplish
it. Accomplish it. Amen? Amen. And so, saints of God, the prophets of old foretold about the first advent of the Messiah to come and bring hope to our world. And one of the prophets that we can go to, and he spoke it thousands of years ago, is the prophet Micah. He prophesied the exact birthplace. Now, let me just share this. I'm going to just throw this in right here because it just came to me. Okay? But let's look at Micah 2. It says, but you, Bethlehem, look at this. Though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out shall come forth to me the one to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth are from of old and everlasting. Okay, so this is an everlasting covenant that God made. Can I get amen?
Amen.
But go back with me to 2006. I don't know what you guys were doing in 2006. But Yolanda and I, we went on an Israel trip during the Enfatada. Meaning, there was no tourism, just like there is no tourism right now because of the war. Well, an Enfatada is like a war, but they were doing a lot of suicide bombs during that time. And so they halted all the tourism, okay? But our tour guide, Ido, knew how to get us in there. And so 95 of us came. We were the only ones in Israel touring. All the hotels were empty. All the restaurants were empty. All the holy sites were empty. And everyone we went to, they were like, they had tears to see us because there was 96 of us. And I'll never forget, here we are, we're passing Jerusalem and we're going down into Bethlehem. And as we went around this mountain, down in the valley, there was at least 500 IDF soldiers with tanks and machine guns. They were ready for war. What had happened during that time, the church of the Nazarene, the Nativity Church in Bethlehem, was under siege. And there were hostages there. And they were planning to go in there and just bull rush them to get the hostages out. So here we come around, two buses, and the general goes, what? And Edel had to come out and tell him in Hebrew why we were there. And so he invited us all. So we all came out of our buses and we mingled with all the IDF soldiers. We were able to go inside the tanks. They showed us the tanks inside of a tank. And we saw their whole platoons that were out there. And then Pastor Leo, my former pastor, said, General, I feel that we need to pray for you. So we asked all the IDF in Bethlehem, what the place we're reading right now, where Jesus was born somewhere out there. We were in Bethlehem, and we surrounded the whole entire units. 96 of us, we made a giant circle around them. And then we started praying, and Pastor Leo prayed, and may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless you. And may you fight like David. And I mean, I'm telling you, he was just pouring it on them with prayer. And we prayed for them. And guess what? Hours later, we had already left. Hours later, they went in, and not one bullet hit them. Hallelujah. They got the hostages removed. And it was all over the news during that time. It was big time news, just like the news it is today. And the general, till this day, tells Ito, I'll never forget the 96 angels that came to pray for us. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I had to share that because this place is real. This place is real. We walked on the dirt of Bethlehem. We saw the people that lived there. We got to meet them. And somewhere in that region in Bethlehem, and there was a lot of caves. So we see, and they even told us that the shepherds are not here during late November and then December, January, February, March. They're not up there pasturing their herds because it's too cold. They come out in the spring and summer. But they have these caves, and they're big caves, and they got all the cattle, the sheep, the goat, you name it. Everything is in these caves. And that's where Jesus was born. He was born in a feeding trough. He came lowly. He didn't come to the governments. He didn't come to say, here I am. He came like us. He came in a baby. Born in a place that, just imagine, the stench of all animal dung in there. But that's how Jesus came. That's how lowly he came. There was so much humility on his father to send him, to allow him to be born in a feeding trough. You know, we call it the manger. We think it's a little crib. No, that's where the pigs ate their slop. And they had to put down rags down there. And that's where his crib was, in a feeding trough. And we saw what they looked like. We went in them and saw, just imagine, that's how Jesus came. He came so lowly. And yet, he had to come that way. To confound the wise. God chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. That's why he saved us. A lot of us were foolish at one time, weren't we? And he saved us to confound the wise. To all those who we still know that are not saved, and they look at us now like goody good two shoes. And it's confounding them. And yet, we're holding the blood-stained banner. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We're saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so Micah, it says here, but you, Bethlehem, this is the prophet. He prophesied where Jesus would be born. Look at this. But you, Bethlehem, through you are little among the thousands of Judah. Yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler, Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Praise God. And so, the book of Luke recorded his birth. So let's read the story here, okay? And it reads in Luke 1:26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among
women.
Praise God. Praise God. Listen, you all know she needed to be saved too, though. She was just chosen. Just like many of you women in here are chosen by God. You're all chosen by Him. Well, she was chosen to be the vessel to bring forth the Messiah. But she needed salvation too. Because when her own son died on the cross, it was also for her. Praise God. Look at this in verse 29. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting was this. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name what?
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Jesus. Just remember, that's the name that's above all names. That's the only name that can save. That's the only name, hallelujah, that brings salvation. Look at verse 32 right up here. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Let me pause right there. Look at verse 33. And he will reign over the house of Jacob for what?
Forever.
Okay, so don't believe the lies on the news. Don't believe the lies that the Jews are the occupiers. No, this was given. This land was given to them for an everlasting covenant. And listen, let me just say this. All the enemies from the past, and I'm talking ancient and some just maybe a couple hundred years ago, you could find those enemies of Israel in the museum. And Israel is still there standing. Hallelujah. Israel is still there standing. Can I get amen? And we need to come alongside and keep praying for them. That God will give them wisdom and understanding. Hallelujah. Why? Why is it still standing there? Because soon and very soon, Jesus is going to step his feet on the Mount of Olives. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us then that all the Jews at that time will look at him and said, "It is him," because he's going to show them the nail-pierced hands and the feet. And he's going to flip their heart and said, "This is the Messiah, Jesus." Oh my gosh. Oh my, it's soon and very soon. Say, hang on. Hang on to your hats. Hallelujah. Woo. God's coming for us soon. Look at this. And then in verse 35. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that the Holy One is to be born and will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." Remember, Mary's cousin was Elizabeth. So who was Jesus' primo?
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist, huh? Right. That was his primo. Yeah. Oh, come on. That's my cuz. And listen, when I remember, we don't have it here on the scripture, but it's in scripture, that when Mary came to greet her cousin, John the Baptist leaped in her womb because he was the only child on record that was filled with the Holy Ghost before he was even birthed out of her womb. Only one. Hallelujah. Just imagine. Filled with the Holy Ghost, conceived. Wow. That's incredible. I didn't receive the Holy Ghost until I was 30. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now look at this in verse 37. And with God, nothing will be impossible. Say that with me. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Is anything impossible?
No.
I'm looking at you, sister. Sister, is anything impossible? Hallelujah. One day I'm going to ask this girl to come up and share a testimony. Hallelujah. Because God did an impossible thing for her. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you, God. Man, I'm telling you, That's why the scripture says, for with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angels departed from her. And then we continue in the next chapter. Look at this. In Luke 2 and 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Oh, here's the government. Here comes Mr. Biden. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you're on that side of the spectrum. Sorry, but not sorry. Okay. This census book took place because the governor of Syria had what? Issued it. Look at this. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David. Look at all the ordered footsteps by God, everything falling into place, because he was the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. Let me just say this. One thing I have to really give a great big shout out was to Joseph.
Yes.
Because he could have had her put away. He could have had her stoned to death. Thinking that, you know what? You committed adultery. But God had to come, hallelujah, to him. And give him a dream. And speak to him and say, the one that she's carrying is from the Holy One. Woo, hallelujah. You see, God will always work on both sides of the fence. Come on. You think he hasn't done nothing for you just yet? He's working on the other side of the fence. Can I get amen? So when you climb over it, he's already there. Hallelujah. He's already paved the way. Praise God. Praise God. And look at this in verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Once again, that's the key. Why wasn't there any room in the inn? Because it was during a festival. It was during one of the feasts. There were so many people there. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. So once again, another key, another giveaway. It snows in December. They're not out there. But Merry Christmas to all. Hallelujah. Can I get amen? And to all. Hello. Now. Let me get my thought back here. Now they were in the same country, shepherds living out of the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Look at verse 9. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. You'd be afraid too. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which should be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Amen. Look at verse 12 right here. And there will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on the earth goodwill toward man. Now, that was a worship concert right there. When you have all of the angels come down, filling the whole sky, giving God all the glory and praise. Hallelujah. How many of you would have loved to have been there? And notice the angels came to them. These lowly guys who had probably have the same clothes day in and day out. Probably couldn't even find places to shower. around animals. So if you're around animals, you're going to smell like one. And yet the angels proclaimed it to them. He didn't go to the governments. He didn't go to the high places. He didn't go to the city. He didn't go to Congress or the Senate. Hallelujah. Well, I'm hearing some chatter from the north wing over here. Oh. What? Nasty city? Oh, national city. He came to a lonely place and they proclaimed it to the shepherds. Oh, come on. The shepherds, let me just say this. They were considered somewhat like outcasts and homeless. They didn't have high paying jobs. They weren't attorneys. They weren't tax collectors. They weren't bakers. They weren't rabbis. No, they were just lowly in the field. And that's what heaven proclaimed. And when Jesus came and died, rose again and sent the Holy Ghost, God came looking for us in the highways and the byways. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. How many of us were down and out, downtrodden? Hallelujah. And God came and saved us from the guttermost to the uttermost. Oh, yeah, we were busted and disgusted. Come on. We had nothing. We was nobodies. Matter of fact, my own family disowned me. I have law enforcement family members, and they were just keeping the dogs off me. Oh, that's right. My Uncle Eddie would come to me. He was an officer for the DA's office, an agent. He says, you know, we're watching you. He goes, we can't keep the dogs off you any longer. They came and forewarned me. And when they left, right. And I would just laugh and still continue to do my thing until God got a hold of me. You see, man can't change you. And guess what? You can't change yourself either. It has to be a supernatural God to come in and change you from the inside out. God has to do it. Oh, that's right. Listen, I have no knock against the 12-step programs. But what I read in the Word of God, all you need is one step. And that one step is to Jesus. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. They won't acknowledge Jesus. Oh, it's the man upstairs, the higher power. You better say his name.
Jesus.
Come on, what's his name?
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Oh, man, this north wing over here, man. Got some chops over here. Come on. Sister Pita said it all, because they're all from National City over there. Yeah, she said, stay there. Sister Pita's in the house. Sister Pita's in the house. Look at verse 15. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made us known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Once again, it was a feeding trough. Hallelujah. Number 17. Now when they had seen him, they made him widely known, saying that this which was told them concerning the child, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told by them, by the shepherds. But Mary kept all things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. You know what comes to mind when I read about these shepherds that were in the field? They were lowly. Is what you guys did for those people on Thursday.
Amen.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
You guys poured out love on them.
Yes.
You guys clothed them, fed them, showered them, cut their hair.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Listen, God takes note of all that. Can I get amen?
Amen.
He writes them in books up in heaven. I remember this day. They came to serve the unsheltered. My goodness. Hallelujah. I feel God saying to you, Sister Carla, hallelujah, hallelujah. He's going to continue to pour out blessings upon you and your family. And I hear the scripture saying, continue to delight yourself in Him, and He will give you the desires of your heart according to His will. Hallelujah. 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 Take that word. Hey. Sharaboko. Ikarabasa. Yes. Hallelujah. Hey. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so, my friends, the Christmas story continues. Can I get amen?
Amen.
The redemption plan for mankind is alive and well. Oh, that's right. That's right. Listen. When Jesus came to the age of 30, God started His ministry, right? Okay, so what happened? Signs and wonders followed Him. He was raising the dead. He was giving blind sight to the blind. He was allowing the mute to speak, the crippled to walk. He fed 5,000 on a hill. Listen, if you were there to see this for yourself, how many of you would be going, whoa, what is this? What kind of man is this? And what kind of God does He serve? Can I get amen?
Amen?
Well, there was one in particular, and he was a Pharisee of all Pharisees. Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, there's something about this north wing over here. Yeah, that's right. It was Nick at night. Nicodemus. Listen, I believe that brother got saved. We don't see it in Scripture, but man, by the way, Rabbi called me again yesterday. Rabbi goes, Reverend Fee. The only thing that's going to abolish that war over there is missionaries going there to preach the gospel. I'm telling you, Rabbi's a closet Christian. Hallelujah. He doesn't know how to come forth and say it. Hallelujah. I just got to love him through it every time he calls. Yeah, Rabbi, yeah, Rabbi, yeah. Rabbi.
Yes.
Well, before we close, let's read this quick story. Amen? Look at this. It's found in John chapter 3. Look at this. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to Him, Rabbi, we know that You are a teacher that come from God, for no one can do these signs that You do unless God is with him. Look at verse 3. Jesus just cut through the chase. Can I get amen? He could have had a cup of tea and said, how's the weather? How you doing? He said, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is what separates all religions in the world. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Amen. There, to me, in the churches around the world, there is a church within a church. Can I get amen?
Amen?
There's people that are truly born again in many different churches. Hallelujah. And then there's some, they just attend, you know, and they come and go. They don't really know who God is. They just go to church religiously. But inside of a church, I don't care whose church it is, it could be Methodist, it could be Lutheran, it could be Apostolic, it could be Pentecostal, it could be Baptist. There's a church within a church that are born again. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. God has His remnant. He has them everywhere. Hallelujah. Thank You, God. And so look at what it says right here in verse 4. Nicodemus said to Him, how can a man be born when he is old? See, he was thinking earthly. He said, how can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So he thought that a man or a woman had to climb back into his mother's womb and come out again, which is impossible. Unless someone here in the North Wing can do that. I doubt it. They know everything already. Look at this. Mercy over there. Mercy over there. Now look at this. Look at what he says. Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. He goes on to say, marvel. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must. Did he say maybe? Did he say, well, you know what? You know, just keep attending. You're okay. No. He said, you must be. That has nothing to do with church. This has nothing to do with signing up and going to church or becoming a member. This has nothing to do with denomination. This is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. So whatever label you got on your building, it's not about that. It's about this. It's right here in the Word. So if you want to fight me, first fight the Word, then come talk to me. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you don't know where it came from. Hallelujah. I remember when I got filled with the Holy Ghost on a Sunday, but that day before Saturday, I was with my kids. They were like 6, 7. And I promised them that it was already planned ahead of time. We were going to Disneyland that day. So I'm on the rides, going on the rides. Hallelujah. I love you, God. I praise you. God, fill me, God. I didn't have a good time there because I was seeking the Holy Ghost. I was just seeking. I mean, I was like a pit bull that grabbed onto a pant leg and wouldn't let go. I was like Jacob, bless me. Remember, you were Pastor R, you were teaching us. Hallelujah, when it was wrestling with the angel. He said, I'm not letting you go till you bless me. Well, guess what? I wasn't letting go God until he blessed me. Hallelujah, until he filled me with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
And that's when I became born again. Hallelujah. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He gives you a mind to be saved, a heart to repent. And guess what? You don't have to go to no school to teach evangelism. The Holy Ghost in you, it'll do it automatically. Can I get amen?
Amen.
God will empower you. Hallelujah, like no other. Thank you, God. And so look what it says here. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, will you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born, what? Of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, aren't you a teacher of Israel? And you do not know these things? Why? Because he knew nothing about the heavenly things. He knew nothing about heaven. All he knew was earthly things.
Yeah.
And so Jesus was, this was a teaching moment for him, for Nicodemus. Look at this. Most assuredly, in verse 11, most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness? If I had told you earthly things, you do not believe. How will you believe if I tell you what? Heavenly things. God was trying to tell them heavenly things. No one who has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. So what he's saying is, he came from heaven down to this earth to tell us about the things of heaven. Hallelujah. Because no one on earth knew anything about heaven until Jesus came. And he explained it clearly. Look at this. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Listen, if you lift up Jesus, hallelujah, in your life, that's what's going to draw all men to Jesus. Hallelujah. You're a witness. The anointing of God that's upon you. The power of God that's on you. When you speak, the anointing will touch their ears and their heart, and then they will come to the saving knowledge. God will use you to draw them. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And look at what else he says here in verse 15. that whoever believes in him should not what?
Perish,
but have eternal life. Our main familiar scripture here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world it might be saved. What he's saying is, Jesus didn't come to condemn us. We were already condemned. We were on death row. We were dead men walking. Jesus had to come and save us from that horrible place called hell. Hallelujah. He came to save us. Woo, when you get a hold of that thing, man, I'm telling you, it'll change you. We were all headed there. Can we say hell in church? Yeah, if we can, I guess we could. We were headed to hell in a handbasket. And God came and saved us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Look at this. Look at verse 18 up here. Look at this. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. Didn't I just say that? Condemned already. So when a person is birthed into this world, and as that person grows, male or female, it's already condemned. I know it's tough to swallow. Yeah, but that's my kid. Yeah. Well, they have to come to the saving knowledge. This is why we pray for them. This is why we teach them. This is why we raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Because when you instill righteousness in them as a child, guess what? It will not depart from them. Then God will have a one-on-one with them in his time and bring them into the kingdom. Hallelujah. We can't take them with us. You cannot grab on someone's coattail and be whizzed off with them. The Bible says, save yourself from this untoward generation. Look at this. I'm just breaking this down so we understand this. Look at this. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, look at this, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil in our life. Aren't you so blessed? Oh, come on. Oh, that's right. Come on, none of us came out of our mother's womb with a halo on our head. Oh, look at this little angel that grows up to be a devil. Until God gets a hold of our heart, huh? Hallelujah. And how many of you, God got a hold of your heart? Come on. Jesus. Jesus. It was Jesus and all Jesus. Praise God. Now look at this. He who believes, let me go to verse 20 right here. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. This is why the Holy Ghost came, to expose us. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. See, when he says, but he who does the truth, that means Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Meaning if you come through him, hallelujah, then God will save you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. A couple of scriptures, and then we're going to go bust that thing out there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Listen, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. Look at this. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. Now, how many of you have seen the Passion of the Christ? That was hideous, wasn't it? There was an eyewitness account that was there. His name was Josephus. And he was a Hebrew historian. But he was there. And he's got many writings, and many of the Jews today look to references, even some biblical scholars look, because he was an eyewitness. Listen, your testimony is key in all things of life. And so this is what was testified by Isaiah, what we're going to read, And also what Josephus, what he saw. He didn't just see him on the cross. And you know how all the movies, they have him on the cross whipped, bleeding. But then they had a terry cloth on him down below. Josephus said he was naked before the world and he was beaten so bad you couldn't even tell his gender no more. You couldn't recognize whether he was male or female up there no more. He was just a beaten piece of meat up there. And that's why the father had to turn. He couldn't look at his son. And then what was imputed upon Christ was your sin, my sin, at that moment. The moment he hung there, naked before the world, God had to put our sins, past, present, and future, on top of him. My goodness. And so Isaiah said this right up here. Look what it says. I'll go through this quickly. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up with him and as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should desire him. I mean, he was grotesque. Look at this. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid as if it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he had borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him, stricken him, smitten of God, and afflicted. God had to smite his son. Just imagine if your firstborn son had, and God said, I'm sending him to the cross. How would you feel? I'd be devastated. I only have one son. And God said, I got to send him. Well, is there anyone else? And God sent his only son. This is why there's going to be a huge, stiff, grievance, hallelujah, judgment on those who go all the way through their life and reject him all the way.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Have mercy. Because what's in store for them is going to be eternal torment.
Yes.
The price that God did to send his only son to die for us. And many right now are mocking him. There's people that we know, bleepity, bleepity, bleep, and then Jesus Christ comes out. They don't even know what they're saying. This is why we need to tell them, and we need to tell them quickly, because Jesus is about to return. We need to tell them Jesus is about to come. You need to repent. Turn from your sin. Turn to God. He's coming soon. Look at this right up here. Surely he was born our grief, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him smitten of God and afflicted. Look at this. In verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. Our sins. Our iniquities. He was bruised. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way. But the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. What? Every human being that has come into this world, past, present, and even the ones in the future, God has laid all the iniquity on his son. That's why it's so simple to just say, God, forgive me. Forgive me. And yet it's so hard to get someone to that place. Wow. It baffles me. I know it baffles you. When they won't turn. Look at this. In verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shears is silent. So he opened not his mouth. Jesus didn't say a word being crucified up there on that cross. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people. He was struck. Look at this. His grave was assigned with the wicked. They buried him with the wicked. Yet with the rich, his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet, key verse in verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He was put, look at this, he has put him to grief. If he made himself as an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. And the good pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And right here, he shall see the anguish of his soul and be satisfied. This satisfied his father, believe it or not, because he had to send him. Because they created us, mankind. And because of the fall of Adam and Eve, God had to make a way for us to be saved. So he sent his son. And it satisfied God to put him on the cross. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify the many. Point to your neighbor. You are the many.
You are the many.
Look at this. For he shall bear their iniquities. Aren't you so blessed? You don't. We don't have to carry our own iniquities no more?
Hallelujah.
Huh? Aren't you so blessed that he took away our sins?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we still have a mind that sins. Mm-hmm. This body of flesh. But that's not what got saved. Our heart and soul. Our spirit got saved. That goes into eternity. That's what got saved. Let this flesh go. Because there's a new body waiting for us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jesus. There's a new one. Tailor made. Tailor made, hallelujah. Mine's going to be 60 pounds lighter, and it's going to have some hair on it. I already see my new body. I don't know about you. I already see mine. Leave me alone. I already see mine. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Bible says think big. I'm thinking big here. Hallelujah. Look at this. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Thus he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the saints. So guess what? He's coming back again. How many believe he's coming back again? Look what the book of Revelation says. It says it right here. Look at this. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye shall see him, even they who pierced him. All the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. And how many believe he's coming very soon? Hallelujah. Listen, he's going to blow this. He's going to blow this. Hallelujah. In the heavens, in the sky. And if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead is the same Holy Spirit that's going to raise you from this earth. Hallelujah. And hopefully it will sound something like this. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Jesus. And so, as we close, the rapture is around the corner. So he was, a child was born unto us. He lived all the way up to the age of 33 and a half. Mm-hmm. His ministry was only 3.5 years. And then he was crucified. And now it's been 2,000 years later. And he's about to return. Hallelujah. Right now, he's pouring out his spirit. And God's coming for his church. Can I get an amen? And it's not the name on the wall. The church is us. We are what? The body of Christ. The church of the living God. It's not brick and mortar. It's not a building. We're the church. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. And so this is why we these are familiar scriptures. But Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, but I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrows others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so God will bring him in those who sleep with Jesus. Look at this. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. That was the shofar blown. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at this. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what?
Caught up together.
Caught up to where? Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And someone asked me this. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What about, how's this flesh going to go up? Well, Paul answers this right here. Look at this. In Corinthians. Now this I say to you, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what?
Changed.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. At the last trumpet. Hallelujah. Woo! That last shofar blown. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. How many can't wait for that change? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And many believe it could happen like this. My. I didn't put it loud because some of you would have got frightened. So, here's the key. Peter, we close with this. The team could come up here if they want to get prepared. Just one last song before we close. When the Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of Pentecost, Peter the Apostle came down and preached to 3,000 and they got saved. 3,000. He said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Listen. Listen, saints. Let's give this opportunity real quick to those who are on Facebook and YouTube. Maybe you're logged in for the second time. And maybe you're just watching. And maybe you just never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family right now that's with me to pray with me, to pray for you, that God will do something miraculous in your life. And so let's bow our hearts and our head and let's pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.